Aloha, this is Clint Hansen with Maui Luxury Real Estate, and you're listening to Maui Real Estate Radio on the KALI Radio Group, or you can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Today we have Adam Miller. He's joining us on our radio show, and we're talking about something a little bit different. I've had my license for a little over 20 years and worked with a great number of real estate agents. And it's, there's a lot of real estate agents on the island, and I've always been impressed with Adam's professionalism. He's been incredible with him and his wife as a team and working social media to, educate the island and as well as potential visitors on buying real estate in Hawaii. So I wanted to get his input on what it's like to be a realtor in Maui, talk about the difficulties associated with it. And he recently moved over to Florida, and I want to talk about how his experiences are there and compare and contrast the two things. So thank you for joining me, Adam. You want to talk about you and your family, how you guys been working together for a while?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going into my 11th year as a real estate agent.
All right.
And yeah, I got licensed in 2013 by myself. Jessica was not in real estate at the time. And yeah, I grew pretty fast. So my first like partial year, I did like six transactions closed, and then 12, and then 18, and then 31 by year four. And
Yep.
of course, in my experience, when you're doing third, that's closed transaction. So I took a little more business than that. It's usually too late by then, right? Usually just can't handle all the business that's coming your way. So I hired Jessica to come on as my licensed assistant. And of course, that gives me leverage. And then that following year, I took 62 listings and we closed 47.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And yeah, just the two of us. And then that following year, we made the decision to move to Maui at the top of our game. So that last year, we kind of shut things down like halfway through the year, but we were probably going to close 50 something transactions just that year.
Yeah, that's a transaction a week, every single
Oh
week,
yeah.
pumping out, dealing with it. And a lot of people don't realize this about being a real estate agent is each transaction is basically like running its own individual business. You have registration processes, you have marketing to go through, you have customers, to communicate with. I mean, it's a regular process to go through. So in that high volume that you were dealing with, how did you help? Like, what were some softwares and processes you helped to manage that workflow?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, at that time, and my coach hated this because I was about 95% sellers to 5% buyers, and they usually want you to kind of have a mix. So it's not as time consuming as that it would have been if you had, 50% buyers. So we used CTE. I don't know if you know CTE. CTE is like a tracking, mostly like Excel spreadsheets, but you plug in all your numbers, you plug in how many phone calls you made, how many people you talked to, so you can track how many people you need to talk to schedule an appointment, to close on a listing.
And the basic term for that's CRM. It's a contact resource management system, and there's a whole bunch of them under. What was your favorite features of that process?
So that was not the CRM. We have
Oh.
used it's more of like an Excel spreadsheet that you can kind of share with your entire team when you have a
I got you.
team.
Okay. So some
Our
CRMs have that built into it.
Yeah, our CRM was Brivity. It still is, actually.
Oh, beautiful.
Brivity for about nine of the 11 years, eight. And we like that one. We also use Asana. I'm not sure you're familiar with Asana. Asana is good to put like kind of pretty much everything in there. You can kind of have your step by step. So if I hire you as a brand new buyer's agent, I go, Clint, here you go. Here's your kind of your access code, and then walks you
Yeah.
through everything. It'll have a step by step of how you do an open house, step by step of how you post a video.
That's phenomenal for teams, especially,
Oh, it's
going
excellent.
through
Yeah,
and
excellent,
yeah,
excellent.
getting people assigned to their tasks and how to excel at them and not missing simple processes. I mean, it's great to have that checklist to go through. And
And we
when
still
you
use that.
made that transition over to Maui, I mean, what were some fundamental differences that you noticed when you came to Hawaii? Because, and one thing I want to mention to people, There's a lot of real estate agents in Maui specifically, and there's a lot of agents that come out here, from other careers, and they're semi-retired, and that's they're kind of new to living on Maui. This is actually not the case for Adams. He lived in Maui previously, and he was returning to the island. So talk about that transition and what it was like for you.
Yeah, it was it's interesting because I consider myself a very smart business person, and I look back and I go, boy, I did not ask the right questions when I came to Maui because, like I said, at the time, very successful, 62 listings. That's a lot. And I look back and I go, we got that business. What I now look at is kind of more traditional door knocking, farming, calling expireds. And those three things were how I got to the dominant amount of business: for sale by owners, networking events, as with the Chamber of Commerce. I learned extremely quickly that none of those work on Maui. There's almost no expireds, very few expireds. Like on the first of the month here, I can probably call 50 to 75 expireds.
100%.
There's not that for an entire year on Maui. So I knew right away, I was like, holy cow. None of that stuff was going to work on Maui. So
It
I
actually
knew the
does work over
statistics.
on Oahu, which is interesting. So, we have a team over there, and she hit it hard. I mean, they were on Maui doing everything that it takes to make a listing happen. And phenomenal. They actually did have some minor successes. But once they went over to Oahu, they experienced rapid success. I
Wow.
mean, hand over fist. And Oahu has its own difficulties associated with real estate over there.
Sure.
So, you're right. That's typically a recipe for success. So what was your reactions that you came across when, doing those tried and true methods comparatively?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of knew. I mean, the first of the month, I realized I was like, holy cow, there's no expired listings. And I kind of figured out right from the get-go that door knocking was not an actual thing. We joined the Chamber of Commerce, completely different vibe. So I kind of knew the statistics that say from the National Association of Realtors that say like 87% of buyers and sellers will usually hire the first real estate agent that they meet. So I was like, okay, well, I need you to find me because obviously there's absentee owners that are not a lot of people who actually, live on Maui buying the properties. So I knew I had to go all in with video. Now, we've had a YouTube channel since we started. But I did basically what every other real estate agent who has one, put your listing up there. I did a couple other miscellaneous things in the community, but not as conscious as I was after I got on Maui. We got a lot of business from Facebook and I think even Instagram at the time, but we knew we had to go all in with that.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
that was kind of our number one lead source.
And that's one of the things that we do. I mean, we of course have a long history here, and I think that's one of the things that benefit us best is resting on our
Sure.
laurels. We have a long series of clientele that we've met over the years, and we've noticed the how the demographics of the real estate market have changed over the last several decades because, we've are kind of a staple on the island. MauiRealEstate.net was one of the very first real estate websites even in existence. That's like 1996 when we came along, when Al Gore invented the internet. So and we 100 plus million transaction a year. Our website still is a major powerhouse even with other websites out there like Zillow. But we're getting 40,000 unique visitors every single month. And, just like you, we provide a resource for people. You're much more informative in how you do your videos. And, it's a great process for somebody who's figuring out if Maui is a good lifestyle for them and the positives for, potentially coming here. So I've always been in great admiration of the work that you've put forward. And, there's not as many agents that work as hard as you. So I've always been
Thank
really
you.
happy, to say that you've been a great success. The problem is, of course, with there being such an obscene number of real estate agents on this island, the competition is through the roof. Like you said, it's usually
For
the
sure.
first agent that somebody meets is the one that they work with. I mean, that's true no matter what. And we have 2,700 real estate agents on the island, which is pretty much 5 to 6 times as many real estate agents as anywhere else in the United States. It's more than 3 times as many as over on Oahu. And Oahu has twice as many as anywhere else,
That's amazing.
in the US. I mean, if you're in, Southern California, if you're in Central California, if you're in Oregon, Washington, all of those run at about 0.4% of the population, 0.3% of the population. We're, significantly more than that. I mean, it's very, very difficult to wade through the competition here. So, in your experience and your successes, where'd you see most of yours coming from?
I would say 90% came from YouTube and or Facebook or Instagram,
Yep.
for
Creating
sure.
that audience, becoming familiar and having that rapport with your online. So what were some of the you think the negatives that came from that though?
There's no question. When you put yourself online, you got to deal with the haters and the trolls.
Undoubtedly. So, and
Yes.
that doesn't really matter what you're doing,
Yeah.
whether, if you experience success online, no matter what, you're going to have people that are going to come down on you.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the tough things. I mean, whether, you're somebody that has millions of followers on Instagram and are just, pushing sportswear, or, I work with Kevin Watkins. We just started a property management division.
Oh,
Um,
nice.
and it's working quite well, which is fantastic. We're helping fire victims through the process, and helping people rent through the direct leasing program, because it's like
Oh, cool.
people just hit a wall when they're trying to contact FEMA, and we're there to help navigate and get acceptances. And it's been very successful. But Kevin is the reason he's gotten into property management with me is because he's very sustainability oriented. And as am I, we started Ngāhale o Maui, which is a community land trust to create affordable housing in perpetuity. We work with Friends of the Children's Justice Center or whatnot. And that's one of the reasons that really attracted me to partner with Kevin and work with him on creating a property management division. So, but one of the things he did before this, because sustainability is his mantra, is create basically water bottles, for companies and businesses to help, divest their branding out there, and more
Nice.
importantly, reduce the waste, on the island here. And as part of that, he works on contracts to provide free clean drinking water stations throughout the island.
Wow.
And so if somebody's looking or interested, always feel free to comment in below, and he'll reach out to you saying, yes, my school would love, fresh, clean water. It's like my business, anything like that. And he'll put these up. I mean, he has contracts in order to provide that free, through the state and through the feds. He gets, third party, filtration systems and installs them, and he loves what he does. It's not a big money-making venture, but it is something that he's very passionate about. And he goes out there, and just like you said, it doesn't matter. There are a great number of haters on the internet. People
Of course, yeah.
basically saying that he's out there trying to poison them, that, there's, forever chemicals in there, when it literally is there designed to filter out, additives and things of that nature. So, like
Right.
you said, no matter how, the more successful you are, the more haters you're going to come across.
Absolutely, yep.
And given that, what were some of the things, because Maui is very unique in how it's culturally situated. A lot of people don't realize this, but Hawaii was illegally overthrown, from the United States, and became the 50th state a little over 50 years ago. So that comes in and is oftentimes in the background. Of course, most existence of any nation anywhere in the world has a long history of, being overtaken and a not so wonderful history. The islands were united through violence. I mean,
Yep.
It's a sad fact, but it is really interesting to see the variety of perspectives. And there are, of course, the majority of people on the island are fantastic when it comes to working together towards everybody's common goal of housing Maui's people. But how did you see those like cultural implications come in and play on your foray into the internet?
Yeah, it was interesting. We did lots of videos about it, and of course, lots of mixed feelings about it because, it's we're real estate agents, and I get the point that it's stolen land. And theoretically, if it's stolen land, I don't have the legal right to sell the property. I can't make the laws. I can't change the laws. It's how I feed my family. So that's what we did. So we made it a
Oh, and of
point.
course, just to say, just to mention, one of the re the just as for argument's sake, people say there's, not can't get clear title. The weird thing is Hawaii's ch chain of title actually goes down to the Great Mahele from King Kamehameha, and the basically having land ownership. So it's actually one of the longest unbroken title chains anywhere in the United States, which is
Interesting.
a lot of people don't realize that, this is a place where you get title insurance, which insures ownership on the property. So it's not
Yep.
like Mexico, but there are some other properties known as leasehold, where there's a remainderman, and there's variety of type of leasehold property. I typically don't sell leasehold. I have definitely sold some leasehold to like Native Hawaiians, and that is of course ceded lands that are set aside specifically for those of Native Hawaiian heritage. And then there's other leasehold properties, which there's like a family that owns the land that has a 99-year lease on it, a trust. It's used as a security investment, something along those lines. But the majority of properties here are fee simple and have fee simple title chains to them. So that's actually one of the beautiful things about Hawaii in general, that if there is a clouded title, you can go back and follow the title chain and fight your for your fa familial or historical connection to the land, which I love and have seen many times, like out in Ukemehami and whatnot. So, but go on, what have you seen?
Yeah, so I learned not to argue,
Yeah.
it's seek first to understand. So if we would always just about always try to engage with whoever was making that claim, and I knew it was not going to argue because it is a lose-lose argument, but just to kind of hear the person out. And if it was somebody who was open to having a conversation, we would just explain, it's like, listen, somebody's going to buy property one way or the other. They're going to buy it with us or sell it with us or buy and sell it with somebody else. Here's what we do. There's 1,000 videos that you can see how we give back to the community, right? We volunteered for the food bank. We did two food banks a year. We had something even before moving to Maui called Closings with Aloha, where we take a portion of our commission. And at closing at the end of the year, we donated it to five great nonprofits. It sounded a
Fantastic.
little weirder when we were in Florida and we had closings with Aloha. Not as weird in Hawaii, but I think people appreciated that. And quite honestly, our team name has been Nine Times Network. Not going to bore you with all the details of that one, but that was our name in Florida, which was inspired and driven by nine Hawaiian values. I ripped that off from somebody else. It was a book I read years ago. I've been in management way before a restaurant or in the restaurant business for a long time. And I read a great book by a woman named Rosa Tse called Managing with Aloha.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm
great
definitely going to
book.
read
You should
that.
definitely
I'm going to
read
grab
it.
that for sure.
Yeah, the gist of that is that she was like a mid-level manager at a resort hotel somewhere, I think the Big Island. And she was noticing that a lot of her employees, locals born and raised, were kind of struggling with, how do you work in a resort hotel with all these visitors and still keep some of your Hawaiian values intact. So she had a list of like, I don't know, 20 or 30 Hawaiian values. And I had read that years ago when I lived here the first time. I was a manager at Honolulu Coffee Company in Wailea, as well as the former Front Street Bar and Grill on a Front Street in Lahaina. And I was kind of going through not exactly the same thing, but kind of the same thing. I was like, I had local people and I was like, okay, let me. Anyway, so that's how we kind of came up with that. So we articulated, these nine values and how they apply to us as a business, as well as to how we work in the community.
Yep.
And for the people who were open to those conversations, it went well.
It's nice too. I mean, when you do come into people that are willing to have those conversations, it does help a lot because you can kind of illuminate them, on how you're fighting the good fight, how you're,
Yeah.
helping to explain the need in creating affordable housing on the island. And, the advocacy that you guys, used to do here was fantastic. I really felt you were a good, member of the community. But no matter what, I mean, when there's a long set of language that we say through our life, there's always one word here or there that gets taken out of context and then people
For sure.
expand on. And it's so, in that, what did you see? Like what was your experience, and why the transition from Hawaii, to go back into Florida? Yeah, I mean,
Sure.
I think it was good timing, with the way the market has been. There's stiff competition with less listings, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we never really had like a major issue. There was nobody who, yeah, whoever gave us a hard time about that. And then in terms of transition, we kind of knew we were going to leave long before the fire and anything happened. We had two big dogs, both of which we put down last year.
I'm
Okay, we knew
sorry.
we couldn't fly back with the two dogs, their health. So we kind of knew when the second one was going to go, we were probably going to go.
Yeah,
My
it's your baby.
parents, yeah, my parents, my sister, my brother-in-law, his whole family, they're all still here in Florida.
Yep,
My
exactly.
parents were getting older, that in their 80s. My dad pretty much has been in and out of the hospital since we moved there. So we kind of knew probably like mid early summer that we were gonna move.
Yeah.
So the timing was the timing. Our dog passed away in August and we were like, okay, let's go.
And that's your baby, that's I think one of the benefits that we have being, a multi-generational family on the island here is, my parents live here.
Yeah, you got
My
everyone here.
brothers live here. My kids are, born and raised here. I'm conceived and raised here. Like this is everything. This is my network. These are my people, my friends. And that's one of the things I do notice about people who come to the island is when you come here and you're trying to start a network from the ground up, that is very difficult. When your family's in the mainland and Maui values, Hawaii values is all about family.
Yeah,
And
for sure.
whether that's your extended ohana, that's like your aunties and uncles as we call them here, or your actual physical blood. And it takes time to forge these relationships over, decades, but still family is at the root of everything. And
Yeah,
when
and Jessica's
it's
family's
pulling
on
you
the East
back, I
Coast.
can
Yeah,
see that.
Jessica's family's on the East Coast.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
closer too.
that was really the big thing.
Excellent, excellent. So now that you're back, I mean, how are you noticing the results of the work that you put forward? I mean, is it much, you see a much more of a compounding effect with the clientele that you've created here? Your past clientele, do you see that cohesion coming together?
Yeah, it's interesting. They always say, your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yeah.
And yeah, so some of our clients, I don't like calling them past clients because that seems too transactional. They're
Yeah, it's a
still our
lifetime.
really good
Yeah,
friends. Yep, our really good
100%.
friends. Yeah, we'll see them again. They'll come to visit. And the vibe that we gave off is just kind of what we talked about, like somebody who really cares about the island, who was focused on educating people. Like you saw my videos, I was intrigued by the comments I get from people saying, "Well, you're a real estate agent. Why are you telling people not to move here? Don't you want them to move here and sell their and sell them real estate?" I was like, "Yeah, no." I was like, "I want to educate them so that they don't waste their time and they don't waste their money and they learn their lesson. I share what I know. And if you buy from me, fantastic. If you move here and you buy from somebody else, fantastic. At least I'm going to be the one that, is giving you some cold hard truth, whether you want to hear it or not." And those are the people we vibe with. I mean, that's. When I look at our clients, I mean, those are the folks at every age point, and doesn't matter. Those are the people that's how they are.
Yeah, and when you aim to be a resource for people, to be of use is one of the most important things you can do to create an audience. And that's exactly the same aim. I do not put nearly the fraction of videos out there. Mine are more, of course, property centric. I produced one video that had 850,000 views on it. I have the superimposed process of me jumping over a house, and
Awesome, by the way.
of course, I do the radio shows. That's one of my main forms
Yep.
of application that we put out there. And it's awesome. It's always difficult to get people to come on because you have to step out of your comfort shell
Yeah,
and be
I had a
willing
live
to.
stream for a long time. I'm gonna about to start a podcast and a live stream, and I'm already yeah, pe people the video is not as bad because people don't have to show their face.
Yeah. And of course, most of this is just pre-recorded and we put it on the radio show afterwards.
Yeah.
And normally I have my co-host Byron Yap, and we were actually going to also have the Fishes on, who is another group that I lovingly worked with, and I think they did a fantastic job, but similar reasons. They moved to go, be closer to their network, their family.
In our neck of the woods, they're here
Yeah,
too.
exactly. They're a fantastic, benefit to the Maui community. And it's sad to see them go. But
They
the funny
crushed it
thing
on
is
video too.
that they're not on the show. Byron's not on the show. I mean, I had RSV last week. I was so sick. It knocked me down, knocked my family down. So that's why it's just you and me today on the show.
It's
But
all good.
yeah,
Yeah.
and I appreciate you coming on and speaking with me today. It's important to kind of give other real estate agents the truth of the matter, and also other potential buyers and sellers of the individual market of what it's like to be here and whether or
Yep, for
not
sure.
Maui or whatnot is going to be a good fit for you. So, and that's again, I liked it that you gave the good and the bad associated with being in Maui. I think it's one of those things you bring in and try to make Maui what people want, and the funny thing is they talk about diversifying the economy here. And the truth of the matter is our economy is 100, not 100%, but almost 100% reliant on accommodation.
Absolutely.
That's where inflows of cash come out into the state. Then the majority comes at, and then it divests from there into, restaurants. It goes into, the tax basis. And the taxes that come in and then get our county workers and whatnot. And of course, the majority of our county taxes come from short-term rental incomes on property tax. I mean, by and large, a huge percentage. And we actually had a surplus of almost $300 million last year. And thank God we're getting, that wouldn't be enough to scratch the increased costs associated with the Lahaina fire. Fortunately,
Yep.
we're getting huge federal assistance, hundreds of millions in a variety of different packets and groups and whatnot. I think all in all, it's well over $1 billion that we're getting in government assistance, which is absolutely essential. So it's good to see, Maui's aloha spirit, really being channeled back into it. But it's hard. I mean, it's really
Yeah, for
hard.
sure.
Housing is pretty much the core of every problem, that we face on it. So I can see the concern and issues and negativity with short-term rentals, and I get it 100%. But it really is the meat and potatoes of the existence of every single other economy on the island. And without it, it's not a question of if, it's a question of how long until we suffer catastrophic economic collapse without it.
Right.
And that's a hard pill to swallow. If we want a diversified economy, we have to build it. There has been some other small efforts, tech being, of course, a great avenue. I've actually started a software company
Oh,
myself.
well.
And this was about 6 months ago. It's Uno to Duo, working on creating actually a relationship app that I don't want to get too much into. And I'm working with people with Maui ties specifically, and programmers. And it's a limited pool to pull from, especially with very specific sets. The other one is actually, I'm an executive director for Pan Pacific Studios, or
Oh.
a producer, not director, executive producer. And I've been working towards funding movies that are filmed and on Maui,
Nice.
and that brings in huge amounts of cash and could be one of the few options because we can't manufacture anything here. It's too difficult. The supply chains are too difficult, and the cost of labor is far too high, with agricultural to be able to export that as a major business. There's very few exportable products that you can create on the island. with that have the shelf life. That's why you see coffee, that's why you see chocolate, and that's why you see limes, because the time that you can from harvest to post, and but the amount of profit is so minimal that it takes significantly more land than accommodations could ever. The amount of all the farmlands around, if you were to dedicate maybe 5% to accommodations, you could easily more than triple the amount of income. I haven't seen the studies on that, but taking a stab at it and the numbers that I've seen, it's really more of a holding strategy that these companies are taking. And I'm glad to see it, because Maui has a rich heritage associated with farming, and I'd like to see that, keep those lands green, keep the country country.
Absolutely.
That being said, and sorry to go on, when you're providing information to people, what do you think is some of the most useful, on whether or not they should invest on the island?
Yeah, well, there's two ways of investing, right? Buying a short-term vacation rental and you come stay there once a week, or moving here. Two completely different business models. I don't know. I still think if you are buying an investment property, you've got to either put a significant amount down, or
Yeah,
you've got
well over
to pay with
50.
cash for it to be profitable. Now, I know a lot of people don't necessarily buy it to be profitable month by month, year by year. It's kind of the long-term appreciation, right? Buy for this, 20 years later, you sell it for that. But it's the people who are considering moving here where I figured I had the biggest impact. And just kind of telling them stuff that they don't want to hear. Here's how much money you think you need. Okay, it's going to be probably twice that, maybe three times as much of that. I always encourage people to come here and do a test run three, four, five times. Now, it seems excessive, right? Because if you're ready to move tomorrow, me telling you you should come here for a month and stay and do what you normally do wherever you live from, a lot of people don't want to hear that one, doesn't mean it's not true. Because the vast majority of people who move back usually move back because of family or finances, or both of them. The family, can't really control that one, but the finances you could have.
Yeah, depending on your background. I mean, of course, it's the fuel that powers your life. Having the extra capital to go out on a venture is really important. And with the fact that accommodations are one of the few actual resources that Hawaii can pull from, there's really nothing else, unless you're going to be pulling from a government subsidy or, feeding off of that industry. There's not a lot of other options out there, and there's a lot of competition. There's quite a few restaurants. I was just, it broke my heart. Since I was a kid, I've been going to Maui Tacos, and they've just closed down all of their locations. I mean, it just,
I worked in the restaurant business for 15 years
yeah.
before. I know how tiny the profits are, and
Yeah.
it's going to be an issue everywhere, not just Maui, but you get people paying $20, $30 an hour in a restaurant and stuff to make money.
Yeah. I mean, with the ebbs and flows of any business, I mean, what did you notice working here in conjunction with the seasonality of Hawaii? I mean, how important were visitors to the success of any restaurant or whatnot that you worked at?
You have to have the visitors for the most part. There are definitely restaurants that and them. I'm not going to say them on air that are more local than visitors, that are obviously doing very well, but they're kind of the exception to the rule, and that's kind of the nature of the beast. And you kind of have to. I mean, that's the clientele. People coming to visit.
100%. So, I've seen that, and I've always argued that I would like to see tourism benefit people of Hawaii, residents, Hawaiians specifically. I think with their historical connection, that there should be some, additional dispensation for them to be able to mine our resources. The same way that, there's diamonds and gold in the ground, the resource of Maui is the desirability and the weather that we have here. So I'd like to see, maybe a more European model where, people have, maybe of Native Hawaiian ancestry have the ability to have a better time on ceded lands, leasehold lands, to create financing mechanisms so that they can build micro hotels, you know, basically
Yeah.
homes in which they live and work out of to show people the true Hawaii. You know, a lot of people, but of course, we have major corporations, major hotels that are the majority funders of our politicians' pockets by more than double. So
Yep.
whenever the ideas of having fair taxation for hotels in comparison to the average person, so I mean, the amount of taxes, and I do have verifiable numbers, but that hotels pay is dramatically fractional compared to what, you know, a vacation rental that a Maui person owns. I
Sure.
mean, it is a huge difference. And but I would like to see, you know, those accommodation dollars flow more directly into the pockets of Maui's people. And you know, pitching something like that is very seen as unfavorable. I mean, people would like them to, you know, return to, you know, the roots of farming. And
Yep.
I love farming. I have a farm myself. You know, we grow citrus, which we donate the majority of. We have protea. You know, we have I would joke to even mention it, but we have a little bit of coffee for our own personal use.
Nice.
We grow sweet potatoes for our own personal use and family. You know,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like I definitely feel, you know, that's an important foundation to have. But on an economic side, I just feel that it's you
Tough,
need
yeah.
big dollars to make something like that feasible, or not be able to use dirt. So tell me, again, to go back into the focal, to get back to getting people to make the decision to come here. What have you seen as a success story? You know, for people that have come out here, like, what do you notice in the type of person?
Who moved there?
Yeah.
From my experience, I mean, it really seems to be like the vibe attracts the tribe. Like our really good friends who live in there now. I don't know how much they donate and give back to Maui, but yeah, man, I don't know if it's pushing $1 million in a short year, but you know, just doing
Oh,
kind
yeah.
of what they saw us do, which is like volunteering, give back. What can you do to take care of the people who are actually here on Maui from Maui? Or natives and Hawaiians, like surround yourself with organizations that give back to those communities. And from my experience, that's what they're doing. Like everybody that we know who actually moved there, like that's what they do. It's awesome.
It is. It's an important aspect is if you decide that you want to be coming to Maui, you need to be having that kind of mindset if you want to make this your primary residence.
Yeah, and I've done a bunch of videos about that one because it's hard to articulate. Actually, I can articulate it fairly well, but it's hard for you to comprehend that if you have
Yeah.
just zero reference point. I live in Iowa and, you know, I go to work and I come home and take care of the kids and blah, blah, blah. And the idea of like giving back to somebody who's, I don't know, born and raised in Iowa seems kind of a little foreign, right? Why would I have to do that? Who cares about, you know, the farmer who's 4 generations in? But it is different. It is different, and it's hard to articulate, and it's hard for you to understand that if you're not in a mindset of understanding why it's important to move somewhere else and give back to your community. Because there's not really any other state that I know of, maybe Alaska, where that should be important to you. Like I'm moving from where I currently live to Hawaii. Everyone knows it's a special place in the world, but special to the point that, you know, you've got to give twice as much as you're taking.
No doubt. And giving, you know, speaking of which, it's hard to give with the high cost of living. I mean, the high cost of living here is dramatic,
That's
usually
true. Your
stems
time
around
costs
health.
nothing.
Yeah, what's that?
Your time costs nothing.
Oh, yeah, precisely, precisely.
Yeah.
But I mean, just on that aspect, though, the affordability level, I mean, what are the things that you kind of warn people, you know, the cost of milk, you know, the cost of housing,
Yeah.
fuel, things of that nature. I mean, how do you see that as coming into impact, not just, you know, people potentially buying, but also visitors of the island? I mean, also residents of the island. I mean, how do you seeing that play into the lack of availability, lack of inventory, you know, market
Yeah,
dynamics.
it's a it's we've done a lot of videos on the cost because again, it's
Yeah.
hard to articulate the cost. But that was one of the things that we tell people to do is to come do a practice run and go food shopping like you would normally go food shopping. Like if you don't go out to dinner 5 nights a week where you currently live, don't come here to do a practice run and eat out 5 times a week. Like, do what you would normally do. Like, if you're driving 45 minutes to work, go drive, from the south side to the west side and figure out, even if you're not going to work on one of the sides, just see what it's like to be in the car at 7:30 in the morning for 45 minutes. And then go to Costco and go to Times and go to Foodland and go to Safeway and buy, kind of short of what you would buy. And then do the math. Like, how much did it cost you to go food shopping in Iowa to feed a family of four? Now come here and buy the same exact thing. You're not on vacation.
No, not at all. So, let's just talk about a little bit more on market volatility, fluctuations, things of that nature. So, did you notice, how did you notice in the time that you were here? The economic volatility. Obviously, the whole world had to deal with COVID. The whole world had to deal with the 2008 housing crisis. The whole world viewed, of course, the Lahaina fire. But that for us coincided with the current lack of availability. I mean, which is money became so cheap. A lot of people popped. Purchased and bought property and are holding. That's the current market that we find ourselves is a lack of inventory because interest rates were so low at one point.
For
What did
sure.
you see like in the market fluctuations? How did you see that comparative and compare and contrast to that in the mainland? Hawaii versus the mainland.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same issue everywhere, a little more pronounced on Maui because your options are significantly less than just about anywhere else in the country. Maybe not New York City, because again, you're kind of stuck. But I think we'll look back and people are looking back now, but certainly in 5 years, 10 years, as one of the poorest decisions ever of having interest rates so low. Because the reality is it does put sellers, not just on Maui, everywhere, in a terrible position. It's great because they got in so low, but now they're almost stuck. And even Maui is no exception than the rest of the country, is that we cannot build ourselves out of the current crisis that we have.
And a lot of
Housing
people don't
prices.
realize that. I mean, when it comes to the market and the average time that people own a home or a condo is normally about a 5 to 6 year timeline. And, they normally own a property for kind of that period of time. It's increased dramatically, to about 8 years. And now, seeing when the low interest rates were and the point in time that we're at currently, pretty much everybody refinanced and are kind of locked into property, whether they bought, whether, they refied their home. So it's kind of we all have this reset number right there, as they build equity into their property, whether it's a personal property in which they own, which tends to be a longer timeline, whether it was an investment property. So what are you going to do? If it's an investment, you're going to 1031 into another property and your interest rate's going to be 2 to 3 times what it was previously. So, and the desirability of visitors and whatnot just generally makes it hard. So,
Yeah, for sure.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, people are really kind of locked in, but I meant more specifically, like, what do you think on timeline? Like to me, I've always noticed Maui being about 3 to 6 months behind the mainland in terms of reaction. So you can usually see what's happening in Arizona, Las Vegas, and whatnot. And then you can be like, all right, 3 months from now, we're going to see something similar happen here. I mean, what do you think that timeline is?
Yeah, I certainly think by probably late summer, we'll start to see an influx. I mean, all the stories and all the reports are interest rates will drop down. I'm not sure they'll hit the fives this year, certainly the sixes. And there are, of course, people who, I'm sure you've heard this before, people who have to move, right? Divorce, diplomas, the seven Ds. So those are people who will have to move. And then there's going to be the savvy ones who go, I'm not going to wait for the interest rates to drop so much because then there is going to be a mad influx of people buying, and you might get a 5.5 interest rate, but you might go back to paying 75,000, 20,000, $100,000 over asking price, depending on where you live. So you might wind up paying more, but have a lower interest rate. So there'll be people who kind of jump on that bandwagon before. So I don't think it's going to be as slow as it is right now.
Yeah.
And you also know too that there's a massive amount of people getting out of the real estate business for all the reasons that you were talking about earlier, the ones who don't really know actually how to get business. I think the number is like 100,000 real estate agents have gotten out of the business in 2023,
Yeah. And
which is awesome.
hopefully we see something like that on Maui. I mean, I think that's with how many real estate agents there are, we need to lose like basically half of our real estate agents. I mean,
Yeah, it'll
most of the
happen.
agents here have a license and they don't make a sale in a year. I mean, and the ones that do make a sale a year, you know, that's the only sale that they make. There's a very small percentage of the population that actually has, you know, repetitive and repeat success. And there's a
About 20%,
very,
about 20%, yeah.
yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the idea of having less agents is, I think, a really good thing because the
For
people who
sure.
have, you know, more to offer the island are the ones that are tending to succeed. And, you
Yes.
know, that's to me, it's really important. I mean, I think if you have having a real estate license is always great. You know, if you have an avenue, like, you know, a complementary business that you're doing, it's great. You know, like, you know, say a spouse is a lender or an attorney, a divorce attorney or something along those
Sure.
lines. Those can be very collaborative, you know, licenses to hold. So, yeah, I
Yeah,
think.
there's going to be commission compression.
Yep.
Obviously, it's going to probably take a while for it to hit Maui more than some other states, but that buyer represent agreement is going to have a massive influx, which I'm excited for because, you know, the agents who are mediocre or terrible are going to get out of the business because they don't know their value. If
Precisely.
you're a listing agent, you know your value, right? You can walk into a seller's home and be like, here's what we do. Here's 75 things we do. When you're a buyer's agent, I send you an email, I open your door, and I help you write an offer. Well, guess what? If I have to pay you a commission now as a buyer's agent, that's not a value proposition.
Yeah, I hope you're doing something.
But yeah,
You
so
know, that's one of
you're gonna get out of the business.
the exactly one of the reasons why people like to work with us is you know, we work on the education process beforehand. You know, we find somebody that is, you know, educated, you know, or wants to be educated, and we go through to teach them like the different parts of the island, what they're looking for. And then once we boil that down, which can take, you know, sometimes 5, 6 months, you know,
Yeah.
to educate them on all the important things of deciding where to buy. And then we specifically search in that area. We reach out to the networks of agents. You know, we will do direct mail campaigns. We will, you know, make phone calls, you know, specific to those people. And of course, that's not just people that are visiting, you know, that's also people that are living here, you know, that are young families that are coming up, you know,
Sure.
finding out, you know, upcoming development options and how that comes into their life and understanding values. Like it kind of blows my mind with some of the upcoming developments that, you know, people should be putting their name on the list. I mean, to put that cash forward is there's not going to be a better value than that ever. With the cost of
Right.
building continuing to rise, you will never get a better deal. Oh, you have to wait. That's great. You're going to have to wait maybe several years before that home is ready, but you're
Yeah.
never going to get that kind of built-in equity, you know, finding something that's currently on the market that has to succumb to market conditions. So, you know, working with local buyers and to educate them on where the values are is just as important as visitors too. So, yeah.
That's a different, it's a different mindset, right? If you're an agent doing one, two deals a year, like I'm gonna get you to buy tomorrow,
Yep.
right? But
Yeah.
when you're somebody like yourself or myself, it's like I'm not coming from a scarcity mindset. I've got the time, right?
Precisely.
I'm not desperate for the paycheck. I don't need you to buy or sell right away. Like Dave, you've seen that agency, you know, I'm gonna take your listing tomorrow, we'll get it on the market by Thursday. It's like, well, why don't you spend the time and, you know, spend a week with the seller and let them know what they can do to get their property fixed up so they can get more money in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of my favorites in you know, Central Maui is a family that was that I helped well, an older couple. They had some kids on the island here, and their house was pretty much a disaster. And I always say this to people that are, moving off island for whether that's health reasons or financial reasons or whatnot. Take everything that's important to you, leave the rest, and I'll take care of it. And they took it to heart. And honestly, it was a solid week and a half of prepping and getting the property ready. And, from about two dumps, dumpster load, it's small dumpster. So it was two small dumpsters. So basically like a half a dumpster load, one of the big ones. And, donating huge amounts of materials, rearranging furniture, bringing in my own staging furniture. It was a long process, but I basically, was able to get them an additional $100,000 on their property, by going through and taking time to perfect a property so that it showed well. I'm astonished to see that there are still real estate agents that grab their phone and go around and snap pictures, of.
I will tell you right now, the number one reason I became successful here in Florida was that reason. So I moved to a town where there was pretty much a real estate team born and raised in the town for 40, selling real estate for 45 years. And I didn't even want to do business in my town. I was like, I can't compete with that. And the first time I took a listing, I brought in my professional photographer. We did drone photos, we did drone videos, and it was like a $250,000 house. And I was getting all these phone calls and texts and Facebook messages from people in the community going, why are you spending all that money on this $250,000 house? I was like, because the clients hired me to market and sell their property.
Exactly,
And then
100%.
it didn't make sense until I started to really look at the photos from the other team. And it was always like, them in the, bathroom mirror.
Well, it's a reflection of yourself and the work that you put forward. And that's exactly why I have you on the show today, is I've always felt that you've always represented your clients extremely well and yourself very well.
Yeah,
So,
I'm excited. I got a phone call from a past client almost immediately after coming here. I was like, wow.
Fantastic. That's a
Yeah, they're
beautiful
like, I'm so glad that you're back. You're like me. You
thing.
got a work ethic like I've never seen before. I was like, excellent.
No, it's it, when especially when you're dealing with somebody who has a long experience, buying and selling real estate, and they tell you, "Hey, you're the best agent I've ever worked at. It's worked with." It's just like
Oh, it's
it
awesome.
makes you feel so good. The fact that you've gone through, you're not duping somebody. You're not like, "You got to buy now," to actually
Oh,
take the
no.
time and
In it
walk
for the long
through,
run.
whether they're buyers or sellers. So.
In it for the long run, for sure.
Excellent. So what would you say, as a closing, what would you recommend for agents, coming into the business? What would you say?
I would say if you're a brand new agent, join a team. And somebody that you can learn from, because the learning curve in this current real estate is not going to be like I'm on the fly. Like you have to understand and be able to articulate your value proposition. There's going to be commission compression, right? Those days of, a seller paying 6%, 7% commission, they're going to be over soon enough. If it's
That's
not in your
something
market
that,
yet, it will be.
and it does surprise me, and people don't realize we have a little bit of a different thing here in Hawaii. You're not allowed to say ever, the standard rate,
Oh
or
yeah, can't say that anywhere.
then this is what the people chart. It's like absolutely illegal, 100%.
Totally
Everything's
illegal.
always negotiable. Typically, without my value proposition, that we put through, we spend $250,000 a year between, professional advertising networks that we work with, and magazines, and online advertising, and photography, and videography, and whatnot. It's a huge number. And but it's important that you give that value add. And unless you
Absolutely.
can do that, shell that kind of money out, it can be really tough.
It'll hit the buyers more than buyers agents more than the sellers very quickly too. We're seeing it already because sellers are going to learn
Absolutely.
that they might not have to pay a buyer's agent commission.
But
The
that's the
buyer's
same
agent is
thing,
going to have to
especially on an
articulate,
island.
they're going to have to be able to articulate why you have to pay me now when that's never been the
100%.
case.
And I think that's one of the things, and one of the reasons why people have always wanted to work with you, is because you provide a level of education and truth that you don't normally get. with most real estate agents on the
For
island.
sure.
Most of them are just trying to be transactional, and you're there to create a relationship over a lifetime. And
Yeah,
again,
we say it from the beginning. It's like, listen, you might not become my best friend, and you might not have dinner at my house, but I walk in the door and I go, is Clint somebody that I want to have in my house? She's somebody that I want to have over for dinner. Now, that might never be the case, but if you're not, I might not work with you. People are like, you're not going to work with me. Don't you want the money? It's like, not so much. It's because I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't want to work with you because I intend, walking in the door for us to have some kind of relationship. Like, this is not a transaction. This is not one and done. You will talk to me. You will see me after this transaction.
Yeah, you want to feel good about the people that you're helping and working with for sure.
I can write a whole book on people that we fired or chose not to work.
Hey, we should do that one day. We got a lot of good stories
Yeah.
ourselves.
I got a whole nother thing that I want to talk to you about kind of off key because
Oh, please do.
here where we live in Lakewood Ranch, I'm not going to bore you with all these details, but there is a community development, I can't remember what it stands for, CDD fee, which is like a kind of HOA fee.
Oh,
And
excellent.
I've known for a long time that that would help Maui tremendously because the builders can't build affordable housing because they have to pay for all that infrastructure.
Yep.
Well, the same thing here in Florida, but then they tack that on to the homeowner. So they pay a homeowner association fee and this CDD fee, which pays for all the infrastructure that was already put in, which makes it at least the builders getting their money back.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, the interesting thing is, especially with the financial surplus that we are seeing from our taxes, like I said, it's $300 million. You know, to me, it's not just about the available funds, but it's the ability to act on that. And, you know, being here in Maui, we have, you know, one of the most difficult, you know, regulatory environments anywhere in the United States. And I think that leads into a very important question. I mean, that has probably gotten more in the way of preventing, you know, affordable housing happening than anything else. I mean, it's entire careers, like 20 years to put in entitlements just so that they can have sewer and water in a particular place. It's ridiculous. You know,
Unacceptable.
that really should be the county's job to go find, acquire, and entitle property. And they've only just realized this, you know, in the last 3 years. And people, of
Maybe.
course, who don't know, my family and I, we have been advocating this for 30 years, you know. For me, it's been 20 years testifying at the county and talking about, you know, the need to create and buy land so it can be entitled for specific purposes. And a lot of people don't realize this is that Maui's bond rating is one of the best bond ratings anywhere in the United States. So what the county's supposed to do is they're supposed to issue a bond to, you know, improve or entitle land. And then so they acquire land, they entitle it and, you know, improve it, and then they sell it. You know, even if they sell it for the same amount that they put into it, the housing that gets built on the land that they have entitled pays for the bond. The
Interesting.
taxes that come through those property taxes pay for it. And given the high value of property here, it's easy to do. I mean, even if you're selling properties for half the market value, there is more than enough tax revenue from those properties in order to go through that acquisition process. And they have finally seen the light of day, but they haven't issued any bonds, but they are starting to work on tax credits for developers, which is
Excellent.
unfortunate. You know, I would like to see the county play a larger role in being responsible as opposed to lying the blame on developers. You know, I think that the blame should be squarely on the shoulders of those who make the laws. If they want specific property, entitle land specifically for
Who
that.
you vote for matters. I'll just say
Yeah.
that.
Yep. Exactly. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining me today. I think you have invaluable insights into what it means to be a real estate agent on Maui, and I hope you the best of luck. How has your venture been so far? I mean, I know you're returning to old stomping ground, so I imagine you're
Yeah.
having wonderful successes.
It is interesting. This area is Lakewood Ranch, and one of the things that excites us is that it is not like anywhere else in the country. Kind of like Maui in a different way of just like not being anywhere else because the building here is nuts. So Lakewood Ranch is a planned unit development, owned by one family,
Oh, wow.
33,000 acres, 50 square miles. And I've never experienced anything that, because there's only a couple of them in the country where it's like planned. Like you literally don't have to leave Lakewood Ranch. The hospital's here.
Incredible.
The infrastructure for the roadway, which is really interesting, is
Yeah.
put in already. So you don't have to deal with like, usually there's a development and there's no roads for it, and then there's just massive congestion. Now there's congestion, but when we left, there were, I think, 10 neighborhoods within Lakewood Ranch, and now there's close to about 40.
Wow, what a difference in a pretty
And
short
at
amount
every
of
price
time,
point,
too.
at every price point. So you can buy, a starter condo. Actually, you can buy a starter house at like $300,000-$400,000, but you can buy a starter condo at $200,000, or you can buy, a house in a gated community that's 5,000 square feet for, I think the most expensive one just sold for 6.9 million,
Yeah.
and everything in between.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much again. I
For
really
sure.
appreciate your time.
I appreciate you
Tell
having
us
me. It's
again, do
awesome.
you have what's your current website?
The 941 Lifestyle Group.
All right, 941 Lifestyle Group. Thank you for joining us today on Maui Real Estate Radio. We broadcast Mondays, 7 a.m. on the KAOI Radio Group. But of course, you can listen to this wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the have a specific show, feel free to comment below and let us know what you'd like us to talk about next. Thank you so much for joining me.